Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. I pray that you tune in each day and that you share with others and invite others to do so. May I remind us, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. There are a lot of folks that will base it on ideological bent for some political party, or base it on denominational dogma, or simply what they think or what they believe, rather than basing it on the firm foundation of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You see, the Bible says in Psalms 11 and in verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we're talking about the foundations of our nation today, and the question is this the end of America? Could it be the end of America? And when we think about that subject, I think it's perhaps the most important subject we could talk about, especially in this election cycle that we're in. If you listen to this broadcast before, you understand my passion for the Word of God, my passion for truth, my passion for our nation, and for the liberties that we have in our Constitution, and especially as is codified in our Bill of Rights. So let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about issues, whether it be in the realm of family, church, doctrine, theology, or in the realm of government and political arena, we're still talking about the Word of God. Because from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, you find all three of those institutions that God created are spoken about, talked about, and therefore it should not be a subject that's off limits. I find it ill-advised for pastors in many denominations and pulpits that's frightened to death to talk about a political issue. Somehow, some way, they think that it's that which ought not to be talked about from a spiritual person. In fact, I had a lady not too long ago that talked about the church that she was formerly in, and she said, "Doctor, you realize that our pastor wouldn't even say if there was an election taking place, that he wouldn't talk about the voting or the election or talk about the candidates or what we ought to do in our voting." I said, "Well, he is going contrary to the Word of God." Because, see, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about these issues, whatever they may be, we're talking about issues that are real, that face society, and as such, we need to face those issues with truth. The Bible is the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then he further elaborates on that by stating in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be the definitive direction that we go in. And I realize truth is a word that is bounded about today in so uncertain terms. In fact, back many years ago, it was the secular philosopher that said, George Orwell, that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's what we're finding taking place today. If you don't believe that, watch Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and the squad, and they're bending and stretching the truth. In fact, it was Jerry Nadler that stood before an interviewer when talking about the riots in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, and across the nation, and what is taking place, and the burning of the buildings, and the pillaging and rioting and so forth. And he said, "That's just a myth. It's not real." And I think that that's what we see taking place today. It's the reason it is so important that we as conservatives, patriots, and Christians, that we understand America as we know it today, and whether or not we want that same America starting in January of next year. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And may I suggest that that ought to be the mantra of every conservative and every Christian in particular today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this today. As we look at the truth and think about the truth of the Word of God, we ought to understand that we need to take our position, whether the society around us agrees or disagrees. It ought not to change or modify anyway the truth. And so we need to stand on the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time carries the full line for hurricane preparedness equipment, Honda generators. Tools for Time carries the full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, which is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic American flag, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any subject that is any more important to talk about, especially in an election cycle, than what we're doing in America and what we need to do in relationship to our vote and how we need to cast our vote. Yeah, I understand a lot of folks say, well, the pastor ought not to tell you how to vote. No, I'm going to tell you how I'm voting, and I'll make the suggestion of how we ought to vote if we want to continue to preserve America as we've known it for all of these years. Ladies and gentlemen, have you considered, have you thought about, have you even analyzed, have you placed it in your mind at all of what America would be like if we failed to reelect President Donald J. Trump on November the 3rd of this year? Should America elect a communist, dictator, Marxist, Democrat, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris? It would be the end of America as we've known it for 244 years, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, Vice President Pence made a statement, and I'll just share a brief blurb of it. He said, the choice we face is whether America remains America. Vice President Mike Pence had a stark contrast facing America during his visit to Florida recently. We stand at the crossroads of freedom, Pence says. Before us lie two paths, one based on dignity and worth that every individual, and the other on the growing control of the state. One road leads to greater freedom and opportunity. The other road leads to socialism and a decline of America. I don't think I could have said it any more clearly, ladies and gentlemen, but let's just run down a litany list of what America would be like if we the voters, if we the people, decide to put Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in office of President and Vice President of the United States of America. Under a Biden-Harris administration, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you some brief blurb points without major elaboration. This is part of the monologue that will open into the dialogue and discussion, ladies and gentlemen, that will allow you to call in and make your suggestions, ask your questions, and allow us to have that discussion with you. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion. We're going to be interviewing a very important guest today. We'll introduce him in just a moment, right after a brief monologue. We're going to be talking about some of these serious issues of what America would be like if we break the border wall down, what America would be like if we allow the illegal aliens to come in and vote, what America would be like if Joe Biden is elected. We'll have a no free speech America if Biden is elected president. There would be no such thing as free speech. We'd be looking at a North Korean example. We'd be looking at a Cuban example. We'd be looking at a Venezuelan example. We would have no religious liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said this before, and I can't emphasize it any more strongly. If we elect Joe Biden as President of the United States of America, you would have Kamala Harris that would really be at the helm, and we'd have no religious liberties. The churches would be shut down. There'd be no such thing as having freedom of speech, freedom of religion. We find that as a creeping, crawling event across America today, where governors like in the state of California, where the churches are still shut down, where they have issued now the edicts that say what you can do and can't do, even in a church. You recall, ladies and gentlemen, on a recent broadcast, I talked about with Gavin Newsom, that has issued a 14-page document that is takes precedence over the Word of God, that tells churches and Christians how they can worship and what they can do, whether they can sing or not, et cetera, et cetera. Under a Biden administration, there'll be no free speech, no religious liberties. Under a Biden administration, Lord, ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 5, Nancy Pelosi passed with 240 votes in the House. It's the Equalities Act, as it is called, and she said herself in her statement on the floor of the House that the Equalities Act, which has fallen the train of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, that the LGBTQ agenda would take precedence over, her words, take precedence over. She used the term, will trump all religious liberties. And that's what we would see under a Joe Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen. The LGBTQ sodomite agenda will prevail. America will have no borders and no sovereignty under a Biden administration. Under a Biden administration, there will be no property rights because the Green New Deal would take precedence over what you can build, where you can build, and how it ought to meet the standards of the Biden administration. Ladies and gentlemen, America will have between 100%, and as one calculated it, one mathematician said that there would be between 100 and 500% increase on your utility bills because of the Green New Deal and what it would do. It will stop all oil drilling. It will stop all natural gas drilling. It will stop all fracking. And we'd be dependent on windmills and the windmill power that cannot be stored but must be used as it's generated. We'd find major mega increases in utility bills just to carry on the work in our homes each day. Ladies and gentlemen, under the Biden-Harris administration, it will allow illegals to vote and to receive medical care at your expense, my expense, taxpayers' expense, ladies and gentlemen. Under a Biden-Harris administration, they will confiscate all guns. Joe Biden's already said no guns. Joe Biden's already said that Beto O'Rourke would be his gun czar, and Beto O'Rourke's already said he'd confiscate all weapons. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you respect your Second Amendment right, and by the way, government didn't give us the Second Amendment right, God did. God gave us the right to keep and bear arms in the Word of God. It is codified in our Constitution. It's confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court. It's to be carried out by we the people. But under a Biden-Harris administration, that'd be for naught. There'd be no such thing as the Castle Doctrine, no such thing as standing your ground, no such thing as the right to keep and bear arms. Under the Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, we would have an Islamicized America. Joe Biden has already said that we need to teach more Islamic teachings in our public schools. Our public schools are eaten up today, ladies and gentlemen, with the Islamic agenda, with the Islamic invasion. May I simply say, ladies and gentlemen, from a conservative standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, from a patriotic standpoint, we cannot allow a Biden administration to ever see light of day out of the Oval Office. Ladies and gentlemen, all of the Bernie Sanders communist agenda will be implemented through the Joe Biden America. America will become a socialist, Marxist, communist, dictatorship nation, a third world nation if Joe Biden is elected. Now, perhaps you're saying that's too harsh. Perhaps you're saying that that's too bleak. Perhaps you're saying that you just don't believe that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all you've got to do is listen to their rhetoric. Go back and look at what they're proposing for America and understand that what I'm saying is absolutely what America will be like if the Biden administration goes into office. We're talking about, could this be the end of America? What will the end of America look like under a Biden administration? Under a Biden administration, Joe Biden's already said that the first thing he would do would be mandate mask wearing 24/7, even at home, even when you are in the privacy of your own home, that you'd still be required to wear a mask under the Biden administration. He's already said that under a Biden administration, there would be forced inoculation by way of the vaccination that's now on the fast track with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, by the way, either owns or controls by financial investment nine of the major pharmaceutical houses in America. And out of that nine, about five or six of them are on the fast track to see which one can get the vaccination implemented first. And instigator of that, which is the one that creates the Microsoft, and yet at the same time with the Microsoft, Bill Gates Microsoft, their viruses. I don't know. I laugh every time I say it. A Microsoft product has viruses, and yes, Bill Gates can send the vaccination to squelch the virus in your computer because that's what he does. But he doesn't wear a white jacket. He's not a physician. He's not an epidemiologist. But yet he is the one that's directing everything that's been done in Washington today through Dr. Fauci. Dr. Tedros with the World Health Organization and Dr. Birx that have led us down the primrose path thus far, that shut down America and shut down the churches and almost destroyed our economy today. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe it was done as weaponizing COVID-19 in order to undermine and tear down and destroy the potential of reelecting President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, even the Chinese government just announced that they are for Joe Biden. I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. This article that I am holding in my hand says, Chinese government, Chinese communist newspaper endorses Joe Biden. Quote, I'm quoting now from the Chinese newspaper, Joe Biden is smoother to deal with than Donald Trump, end quote. Subtitle of this article says, on Thursday, China time, on the same day that Joe Biden's much-anticipated Democratic Party convention speech, the Chinese communist newspaper endorsed Joe Biden for the president of the United States of America. Says China is rooting for a weak America. Trump is rooting for a strong America. You can't be any more clear than that. You can't find anything that's any more definitive of where we're headed in America with the Chinese government's implementation of their push for Joe Biden to be elected. That should tell you the type of president we would have. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is asked and demands to be answered. And I'd love to hear from you today, your position on that. Is it possible for the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats to steal this election? And the only way, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I must tell you, the only way they can be elected, only way we can elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. By the way, Kamala Harris's birth certificate says she's Caucasian. When she was elected to go into the Senate, they talked about the fact that she was Indian and Jamaican. And now she wants to be black. All of a sudden, she's a black American. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a total conflict that's taking place, and it's where there's an attempt to lie to America to try to think that you have a Joe Biden presidency with a black female as vice president. That is simply not true, ladies and gentlemen, but we have understood that there's deception, and the deception permeates all of what's happening today to try to steal the election. Some ask the question, is it possible for the Democrats to steal this election? Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a de facto affirmative answer. Yes, the answer is they are now presently, busy in the process of stealing the November 3rd election. If President Donald J. Trump loses this election, it will be the last free election in America. In fact, here's an article, and I won't take the time because we have a very important guest we're going to interview in just a moment. Here's an article that says how a Democrat plans to steal the 2020 election. The lead line of the article says, it's my greatest concern, my single greatest concern, warns Joe Biden. Hear this. This president is going to try to steal the election. It's the finger pointing at President Trump, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Chuck Schumer and others are now trying to get you to think that somehow, some way, it is President Trump that's trying to steal the election. It's one pointing the finger at the other with the very thing that they're attempting to do themselves. Here's an article that says, 2020 end of the USA, question mark. And that's my question today. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that we're looking at the end of America as we know it? Ladies and gentlemen, America, American states, many, in fact, I've the last count, I think it was 39 states that we have in America that's already instituted laws on the books that allow mail-in voting. And now President Trump has stumbled over his tongue two or three times and made an error in his statement when he uses the state of Florida as an illustration of successful mail-in voting. Back in 2016, don't know who instigated, don't know whether it was the Democrats in the House in the state of Florida or the Republicans, probably the Republicans because they're in control, but the absentee ballot process, absentee ballot law, was modified rather than calling it absentee ballot in the state of Florida. It's now called mail-in ballot. Yes, an absentee ballot is a mail-in ballot, but there's a vast difference in what we have in 39 states. It's called the mail-in voter law that allows you to mail. What would you do, ladies and gentlemen, if you vote, and in some states allows you to vote by mail-in ballot 3 days before the election? How is it going to get to the post office and then to the election headquarters to be opened on or by the deadline at 7 o'clock on election day? It's an impossibility, and yet that's the way many of them are set up. Ladies and gentlemen, we have as our very special guest today on Let's Face the Issues, Derby Uyoa. One day I'll learn how to pronounce that, Derby. Derby Uyoa. Derby is a legal, and I'm using that emphasis, a legal immigrant from Cuba. And we're going to talk about some of the things that Derby has seen in his lifetime and some of the things that he experienced in Cuba and where we are today and what America's like. Derby, welcome to Let's Face the Issues. It's our delight to have you on the set with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. Let me start by saying that we are at war.
Yes.
And we are losing the war. And we cannot afford to lose the war, because if we do that, we lose the country.
That's right.
So who is the enemy? Simply, the Democrat Party, the mainstream media, the educational system, entertainment, and specifically Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Big Tech, and the RINOs, better known as the Republican establishment. We have many battlegrounds. In some of them, we can easily win the battle. In others, it will be very difficult to win, because the odds are against us. Now, I would like to address some of those battles and give suggestions on how to change the odds to win the battles and eventually the war. We have limited time, but I would like to cover voting, immigration, citizenship, trade, education, healthcare, etc. Now, I would like to challenge all Republican elected officials and all the conservative and Republican groups in Duval County to conduct an active and aggressive support of Donald Trump. But not only that, also to attack and condemn the Democrat Party, Antifa, Black Lives Matter. They are our enemies. And if conservatives do not take the offensive, then they become allies of the enemy, and I will have no respect for them. Wars are won on the offensive, not on defense. That is how we won World War II. We bombed the hell out of the Japs and the Krauts. And notice that nobody got offended when we called them Japs and Krauts. War is hell, and you cannot be nice in war. In war and politics, nice guys never win. We must attack, and destroy the enemies. Democrats, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the RINOs.
I agree with what you're saying. In fact, one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize, and Derby touched on it so clearly, we're dealing with a number of folks today. In fact, I was pretty disappointed in much of our primary election in Duval County, because we had so many of those that are RINOs, Republican name only, that registered as Republicans in order to run undercover to then institute Democratic, Socialist, Marxist, BLM ideals, as they would call them, or agenda. And we find that is taking place across America today. Derby, you touched on the fact that Black Lives Matter is part of the enemy. One of the things that I have stressed so much on the broadcast of recent is that Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with pigmentation of skin. It is simply a socialist, Marxist, communist organization that set out to overthrow, to tear down, and destroy the fundamentals of the United States of America, in particular, our constitutional republic. And George Soros funded, just since March of this year, over $150 million into Black Lives Matter. And since April of this year, Black Lives Matter has taken in about $450 million. And all of that is designed to overthrow not only, ladies and gentlemen, not only the constitutionality of the United States of America, they're working around the globe, and in particular, they're set to destroy Benjamin Netanyahu as Prime Minister of Israel, and to overthrow the Israeli government, to institutionalize there exactly what they're wanting to do in America, is a malleable government that is in favor of the Socialist Marxist Communist Party and will destroy the nation of Israel and the United States of America. Derby, you touched on also the fact that we're at war. One of the things that I think that Christians are not aware of, and I emphasize that, because we as believers and as conservatives, we need to understand. In fact, I've used from the pulpit a number of times the illustration. As Christians, we sing the song, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before," but not really realizing that we're in hand-to-hand combat every day. And ladies and gentlemen, the battle that we're faced with is the war that's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. And it's dealing with that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. We're dealing with a demonic, satanic battle that's being waged through the hearts and the lives of the socialist, Marxist, communist, BLM Democrats that's now trying to now you might say that's harsh. Listen carefully. As Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, says, if you vote for a Democrat, you're voting for the devil. I don't know how you can put it any clearer than that. You're voting for the devil. And we need to understand any party that stands for murder by way of abortion, any party that stands against our constitutional republic, any party that stands against our Bill of Rights, any party that would murder that baby in the womb, any party that will allow the taking away of our Second Amendment right or the closing of churches is a party that is antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. Derby, I've touched on by way of your introduction that you're a legal immigrant from Cuba. Tell us something about Cuba. Tell us something about why you're in America, how you got here, and very briefly, take a moment and talk about what you've seen, the difference in what you saw in Cuba and what you see in America today.
Okay, briefly, Cuba before Castro was a paradise. It was not like what the mainstream media portrayed Batista to be. Cubans had no reason to leave the island until Castro took over. We were happy there. I would have come to the U.S. to just be a tourist, spend money, go to school, but always go back to Cuba because I was happy there. As were most Cubans. But when the communists took over, they ruined everything. And that is what will happen here if the Democrats take over. But I really would like to talk about voting fraud.
Yes.
That we can stop it if we do things to stop it, but we're doing nothing to stop it. We need to clean the voter rolls. It would be like this. These are my ideas. You simply declare all of the registrations null and void and make all the eligible voters apply for a new registration. And the only way to obtain a new registration is to present an official certified hard copy of their U.S. birth certificate or an original certificate of naturalization.
Yes.
Those two have got to be there before anything.
Debbie, when you talk about identification, if I can butt in for just a moment, people need an identification card, a driver's license or something when they go into the courthouse building, the federal courthouse building. You need an identification card when you do multiple things, and yet we hear Nancy Pelosi and others saying that that's trying to repress voting if you ask for identification. In fact, you talk about cleaning up the rolls. Here's an article that says, California man just charged with mail-in voting fraud in three elections. And the article goes on to talk about the fact his mother died 10 years ago. The last three elections, he's voted for his mother. And now they've just sentenced him to 3 years in federal prison for that.
Okay, more to make voting fraud free. And the birth certificate or certificate of naturalization should be cross-checked with the Social Security number and school records. Also, a biometric record should be taken and a photo of all those who apply. And you can only apply in person.
Yes.
That keeps dead people from applying.
That's right. Keeps cats and dogs from applying too.
Voting should be made more difficult, not easier. If it is easier to vote, it will be easier for Democrats to cheat, because Democrats cheat and lie. Democrats cheat and lie. And you don't want to extend the voting period, because then they have more time to cheat and lie. And the easier, the more cheating and lying. And any illegal who votes, deported immediately. And any citizen who votes illegally should be put in jail for a year and lose their right to vote forever.
Yes.
That's the way to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Derby today. We're talking about is this the end of America? What do we need to do? We specifically talked about the illegal voting and the mail-in voting. We'll be talking about that further after the news hour. We're going to have a one-minute break for the top of the hour with the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue our conversation today about the end of America.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.